It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, hopefully it's working. I think it is. Alright, so this week there was a new episode of The Simpsons, and I watched it. That's my wife. Mm-hmm. Hi, wife. Bye. So I know you don't know a lot about The Simpsons. Do you know who Patty and Selma are?
Aren't they Marge's sisters?
Yes, they're Marge's sisters.
I thought one of them was dead.
You sound like them at the moment. No, neither of them is dead. One of them got married a lot. One of them is gay. They live together. They originally were a big, bitter spinster joke when the show started. And now, I don't know really what they are, but their two defining characteristics, like primary defining characteristics, are they are constant chain smokers,
yeah,
and they hate Homer.
I didn't know one was gay.
Yeah, that came up a few years ago. Which is weird, because in a very early season, she was in love with Principal Skinner, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, so this episode I watched the other night didn't involve them. But at one point, something happened, and they sort of shifted screen to where they were standing nearby to make some funny quip. I don't know what it was. But one turns to the other and says, "You got a cigarette?" And the other one said, "Not since Disney bought us." And then they both put on a pair of mouse ears and just stood there looking disappointed.
Is that for real? Like, they can't have them smoking on...
I have no idea. I still think it's funny.
That is funny, but...
it's hard to tell with The Simpsons, because they will call out real shit or they will make up shit.
That's
so
true.
It's hard to say.
That's true.
But yeah, I thought that was funny. You see my alpaca?
Yeah, I see that.
It's alpaca made out of alpaca.
Really?
It's Vervartsov. Feel it. It's Vervartsov.
I thought you didn't want me to touch anything.
Oh, that's right. You're gross. Keep your gross stuff away from me.
I almost touched it,
don't
though.
Do it. It's Vervartsov.
You kind of made me want to.
Some
and
other
I realized,
time.
Wait, I'll probably make you sick if I touch this.
Yeah, because I do this with it. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Don't let me touch it.
All right. When you're better, maybe you can touch because it's Vervartsov.
Okay.
I brought it home because I'm probably going to take it with me to Gamacon. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that apparently owes Beth Westlake an apology.
Yeah.
Because she is a true hard-hat, a true devout listener, and also has the added benefit of not being Azhatalin, so that's good. Because she stopped listening for quite a while, I believe, on a couple of occasions. I did not know that she would go back and listen to all the makeup ones. That's crazy.
Craig says he's listening to them all also.
I think I remember that. And I think we've acknowledged Craig.
Good job, Craig.
If you've listened to all of them and we haven't acknowledged you, let us know on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. It's possible Dave of Id has, but I feel like Dave of Id skipped out for a while. I don't know. He still listens. anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 467.
Is it 467?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Last one was 466, pretty sure.
Then that would make sense.
Yep.
If you're just joining us for the first time, watch out, William's sick. This is how committed he is to podcasting.
Yep.
Let me explain how the show works. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks, wonderful people out there, people who want to help out, people who want to see this show keep going in lieu of giving us money, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. Ever so delightful servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That is the whole show, except for the parts that aren't, which is most of it. And our website now has the latest version of WordPress. I have spent maybe multiple years, I don't know, definitely many, many, many months, where I could not update the website or could not update WordPress on the website or some of the plugins because the PHP client was out of date.
What does that even mean?
I do not know. But I attempted to find out, and it involved crap that I didn't really get about having to come up with the server name that I was housed on and tell the people at the HostGator to do this stuff, and then I had to get in the control panel to do it, and I was having trouble remembering what the login was for the control panel. I could log into just my HostGator account, but the control panel was a different login. I couldn't remember what that was, and so I sort of was putting it off, but I was like, it bugged me, because every time I go in there, it's like, you have updates. Oh, you can't install those updates. And it went on for a long time. I'm like, something's gonna blow up or die or something. So today, I had to go into just my HostGator account because the debit card I was using to pay for it has expired and I had to put in the new one.
Sure.
So I did that. I'm in there. And now there's just a button that takes you to your control panel without another login. So I went there and I'm trying to figure out a PHP and all of this. And the knowledge base is not super helpful because HostGator would really like to sell you one of many services that does a lot of things, including keeping that all up to date for you and everything. And I'm like, I don't want that. But a little Google foo later, I found out just on the control panel, there's a piece of software that's just called PHP Selector. And you click on it, and there are some options that you should largely ignore unless you really want to get detailed. And you pick which version you want of the PHP, and you hit the button, and it updates it instantly on your website. And so I went from 5.4 to 7.1, which is not the latest, but it was the latest they would let me do. And suddenly, I updated all that crap. So no one should notice any difference, but I have saved us from imminent doom on the blog.
You are a true hero.
Yes. The word gets tossed around a lot, but I feel like for once, it's appropriate.
It actually applies.
Yes.
Sure.
I don't want to say I'm a hero, but I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, it's been 2 weeks because we had to record ahead of time.
Yes.
Because you were food policing.
I was going to, but...
Uh-oh.
But then my wife's schedule...
She'd been traveling a lot for work. She must be important now and stuff.
Well, I think so, sure. But she had... It sort of came up suddenly that she was going to come back on that Thursday. And it actually might have still worked out. She did get back pretty early. I think we would have been a little late for the thing, but it might have been okay to walk in late. But she came back with this illness.
Oh, okay.
So we both didn't go. She was very sick, so I wasn't just going to...
You weren't just going to take off,
drop her off at home. So I ended up not being able to do the thing I was going to do, but that's how
And
it
then
goes.
You got sick.
And
it sounds like a fun 2 weeks.
Then I got ill, which it's really strange. I think I said this to you, that we haven't had an illness like this, either one of us, for maybe, 20 years at least for me.
I'll bet you it's the travel.
Could be.
That flu that Trish and I got that knocked us both out for like the better part of 2 weeks was one of the trips to Disney World, tight spaces with a bunch of people. I'm starting to get nervous. So at the end of March, Trish and I are both going to San Diego, and like, I'm nervous just about that at this point, because I'm like, I don't like going through airports right now,
because
there's too much crap going on. And that's before the coronavirus. But I'm like, you know what? A week by the pool in San Diego, I'll take the risk.
Where are you going to San Diego?
She is going to San Diego for a conference. And I, in my new job situation, so you know I get sick a lot. And I particularly get sick a lot in the winter.
Yeah.
But I'm also a wuss. So a lot of times I'm sick and I don't want to infect other people, or I'm sick but I just don't feel up to going. Like, there's some wussiness involved. So there are times when I'm sick and I don't go into work, but I probably could go into work. Mm. As Trisha said, there are times in November when I've seen you go to work sicker than times you stayed home in January, because by then I'm out of time off.
Right.
But in my new position, I can work from home.
Right.
And so I've been sick a lot this winter. I've used like one day of time off for it because I was so sick that I just couldn't. But the rest of the time I worked from home. So I have a lot more time off this year. And I'm not like blowing anything. So I'm taking a week of it. And for the cost of my airfare and my food, but everything else, Trish's airfare and food and everything will all be taken care of, and the hotel will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting a week-long vacation in San Diego.
Wow.
Just hanging out. And she'll be free in the evenings with me. Actually, we're going a little early, so a day before and a day after we'll have time too.
Have you been there before?
We have. Twice. But, well, four times, depending on how you count it. The two cruises we ever took went out of there.
Oh, I didn't. I guess I forgot that.
Yeah.
I must have known that.
And so we are familiar with a very specific part of San Diego and like it. And it's the same part we're in. We're actually going to be on Coronado Island. But that is a quick ferry ride to where we stayed the other times and stuff. So it should be pretty nice. I'm pretty psyched.
I've never been there.
It's a nice place to visit. I feel like I wouldn't want to necessarily live there, but it's a nice place to visit.
I don't know. We'll probably get out to California one of these days. I don't know.
Before it falls off into the ocean?
Yep. It's going to happen, you know. You got to get out there.
I've heard Lex talking about it.
And then you have to buy up all that desert property cheap so that it'll go up in value as soon as
that makes at least two Superman movies where Lex's entire plot was about getting cheap real estate.
What do you mean?
I mean, the one movie, was that the first Superman?
First Superman movie, yeah.
Yeah, he did the nuclear. And then in Superman Returns, the Bryan Singer one,
he built an entire
continent out of kryptonite that would basically screw up the rest of the planet and everybody would have to buy his real estate.
That's right.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, that movie was an homage, you know, so of course they were going to come up with a real estate-based plot there.
But it took place after Superman 2.
Wait, but like I say, it was an homage. I mean, they copied everything from the original. And they shouldn't have. I mean, I didn't mind it sort of taking place in the same universe kind of thing, but it was like it had lacked all originality. And I like Brandon Routh in that role, but
from Iowa, no less.
Yep. He reprised it on TV recently.
Yes. Shh, quiet, because my wife is not that caught up yet to know. Because he plays a character on Legends, and he also...
But that was during a crossover, though.
Yeah, but it was a weird crossover. I don't like to... Just in case, I don't like to spoil it for them. Because I read this stuff online, but I don't watch the show, so I don't care. I do love... OPCD had a thing one time where they were making reference to something in Superman Returns, and they were like, Superman Returns, the best Superman movie in 10 years? Out of three possible Supermans? All right, I guess. And then they went on, and there was stuff that was wrong, and they're like, really? This is the best? And then they showed shots from Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. It's like, no, you're right. They're better than other pieces of crap.
He was a great Clark Kent Superman. But
he was good at that.
The biggest problem I had with it in terms of his portrayal, well, aside from this scene where a bullet hits his eyeball, that was dumb.
Yeah, that was weird.
But there was also the thing where he was like hovering outside of Lois's house and using his super hearing and stuff, you know, to like spy on her and her.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird.
That didn't seem like a Clark Kent thing to do.
And several things about how he handled the end also.
Oh, right, right. Yeah,
there was some out of character moments. Now, to be fair, I feel like we should let them slide because all of that was still more in character than literally everything he did in the next two movies.
No, that's absolutely correct. That's absolutely right. And
so, I fucking hate Superman anyway.
Oh, come on.
I hate him. He's dumb. I don't hate him. Like, if he existed, I would not hate him. I hate him as a narrative construction.
I understand.
He's a dumb character to have.
I like Superman.
And he's constantly gaslighting his wife.
It's sad. I just heard news that, well, one of the co-publishers of the comics was fired on Friday.
Oh, geez.
Who's been doing it for 20 years or something. He and Jim Lee were co-publishers. Now Jim Lee's the only publisher there. And there's some concern about whether or not AT&T, which owns Warner Brothers now,
yeah.
and everything else, that AT&T's not going to see the value in allowing the publishing arm of DC to continue.
Wow.
It's just a rumor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you think about it, why would AT&T care if DC...
No, from a revenue comics perspective, there isn't a lot of point.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's more than enough material that already exists to fuel your movie and TV stuff for ages.
So I hope... I mean, I hope it is just a rumor, but it...
I'd say for PR purposes, you could at least keep a shoestring going.
Well,
you could at least keep a skeleton crew of the comics, just because it would dishearten so much of the fan base so badly if you just eradicated it completely.
Well, another thing that I didn't even realize this was going on because I've not been keeping up very well, but before this fellow was fired, he was kind of heading up a project. A new kind of reboot project.
Oh, great.
They're constantly doing those.
The new 71.
Yeah, that kind of nonsense. But this one, what it sounds like, they're calling it 5G, which I don't know if that was a way to try to impress their AT&T overlords or what.
I think this is like when Crest came out with whitening strips that they called HD whitening strips.
Oh,
it's that kind of deal, you know.
But anyway, it does stand...
It's better than just sticking quantum on everything.
...for fifth generation. And this was the idea. So as far as I can tell, based on little hints that have been in the comic up to now and some people reading those hints and writing articles that I read, and I think they're probably right, was a move to put Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman back in the Golden Age and Silver Age. Like, they existed back then.
All right.
And
you're going to have to alter your villains a whole lot because they were racist as fuck.
And and have the modern continuity be legacy characters. Like, so since Batman would be too old, someone else would be Batman.
Yeah.
And Superman...
One of the 12 Robins.
Superman would retire and his son would be Superman kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think this is a fantastic idea, honestly. I mean, first of all, you know, every time they try to create a diverse cast of superheroes, people don't understand why they often will race or gender bend an existing hero. They think, well, just make a new one. You know, you should have new heroes. And that's true. You should.
Yeah.
But it is very hard to come up with a concept that's going to catch on. It just being a person of color or a woman or a gay person, it's not going to do it. I don't think people appreciate how much
every character has to be distinct rather than just Batman but gay.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's such a leg up if you could take a character that people already recognize.
Yeah.
And they can connect with. So this just
And Marvel's pulled it off quite a few times.
Right. So
themselves.
But this would be a way to do it where you're not like reinventing the character from scratch. This is, those characters are done. They're retired, and so these are new characters taking on the mantle or doing something completely
different. And to be fair, DC's pulled it off occasionally. Batman Beyond was essentially that.
That's correct.
And I really liked that show.
Well, what got me excited about the idea was two things. One, what I'm saying now is that you can start
making... You just start talking and got him excited about the thing.
You can start having a diverse... Like a really diverse Justice League.
Yeah.
And you're not erasing something that you think fans are going to complain about.
Yes,
you're
not killing anyone's childhood.
But what you can also do, which I would really love to see, is I'd love to see comics about Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman or Hal Jordan Green Lantern that are set like in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
would be really cool because, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Darwin Cook's New Frontier. I don't know. Are you familiar with that?
You said as I knew, so I'm just going to
I'm sure I've talked about it.
I'm sure you have too. I don't know.
Darwin Cook, the late Darwin Cook, he had this fantastic
dream to consume all the animals on the Galapagos Islands.
He had this fantastic run for a Justice League story that was set in the early 60s.
I thought that joke was really good. Now that I'm thinking about it longer, I'm not sure it was good.
In the early 60s, and it was just so good. And it when I think of, like, my headcanon for DC starts with Cook. Like, that... If you want to experience DC the way I experience DC, you've got to read his New Frontier, and then you can watch like Batman the Animated Series because it seems to kind of go along with it in aesthetic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that run was all that's it. I mean, the characters that he established there, which were the classic characters, but they were kind of in that time, and they all had very specific. Personalities for what he was doing that he didn't do anymore.
Yeah.
So you don't see those same characters in the 70s or something.
I mean, the thing where TV shows go on too long and they stop being good, and we all are like, should be more like British TV shows where everything's connected and it's a complete arc, and then you were like comics have that 1,000 times worse. Like, I really feel like all of these should just be limited runs, and then we go on to something.
No, and
else.
I agree with that too. I mean,
and I won't read ones that aren't.
At the end of New Frontier, there, what happens is the Justice League has finally formed. I think the very last panel is they're fighting Starro or whatever, which Starro was the Justice League's first enemy.
Yes, and hilarious.
But you never see that Justice League do anything else. Now, I'm with you. A lot of times, it's like, yeah, don't ruin it. Leave it like that. But if they were going to do this whole continuity change thing, and mostly it's to change the current continuity to new characters. That's mostly why they're doing it. But it also, I think, does open up us doing something like going back and making...
A lot of you grognards would like those old-time stories with the originals.
I would, yes. I would. I admit it. And, you know, because here's another thing is I like reading Golden Age and Silver Age stuff, but... It's clearly problematic in so many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, from sometimes the plots not being very interesting to sometimes having some sexism and racism.
But
in them
you get some splashes of brilliance, you know, like Egg Foo.
No, don't do that. But to make something that has that aesthetic.
Or Wonder Woman's constant anger at Japanese people.
All right, come on.
Wonder Woman fucking hated the Japanese.
All right, just stop. If you can take that aesthetic,
she used a lot of slurs,
and some of that stuff, and tell good, interesting stories, good stories, and take out some of the bad stuff, or address the bad stuff in a sensitive way today, I just think that would be cool. But I don't even know if they're going to do that now.
Was it? Maybe it was Superman. Somebody mentioned some. I think it was. It must have been Superman. Some comic character that, like, even in the days where everybody was just tossing around the epithets and everything, they didn't. I think it was Superman. Because, like, Wonder Woman said a lot of shit that I am not happy about. Like, and they were just, you know, shit today that we would say, hey, that's a racist asshole saying that was just a common phrase in, like, the 50s or whatever. But Superman never did it. He was better than that.
He was a pretty stand-up guy.
I think it was him. I don't remember.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if it
was. Yeah, no, that would make sense.
Because they really held him to a high standard back then, which was not out of line with how people in the area of the country he was supposed to be from were held to.
It's the nature of the character. So, other than stew on that, did you do anything interesting these 2 weeks? That and, you know, get death?
I watched a lot of Old In Search Of's.
Whoa.
My brother sent me a link to Old In Search Of. So they're pretty good. They're not, you know, in a lot of ways that's the precursor to the modern Ancient Aliens and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But back then they were very sensitive about not misleading people. Like, the, I don't know, did you ever watch In Search Of?
Probably. Like, I remember it.
I mean,
but
it's a 70s thing, so you would have
yeah,
to see
but
it in syndication
stuff, it's a lot.
Like the like,
well, and also in the 80s, there were 1,000 shows like that, so it all sort of blurred together.
Like
but In Search Of was a big one.
At the beginning of the show, they say something like, you know, we're going to, this show contains a lot of speculation and conjecture, and it's not the only theories, you know, like trying to warn people. We're not trying to lie to you. We're not trying to mislead you. Whereas today, they don't care about that. They'll lie right to your face.
Well, and even then, did you ever watch Psi Factor?
No.
That was the version of that with Dan Aykroyd.
Because
Dan Aykroyd's a huge believer.
Yeah,
in
he is. But did he even try to make it, you know?
Oh, no. He was super Agent Aliens about it all the time. And that one was a lot of dramatic reenactment. Like, it was basically a narrative story, and he'd occasionally break in and be like, what they'd found was amazing. Could it be? I mean, he sells vodka like that. He literally has Crystal Skull vodka, and his advertisement for it talks about aliens, crystal skulls found, and what they mean, and yeah.
Well, a funny thing about some of these shows is what they say is going to happen in the future. You know, by the year 2000, something or other, and it's
yeah.
like, nope, didn't happen. But it's pretty funny. But yeah, mostly that's it, because I've been ill all this week, so.
Ugh.
And it's for, like, at least one of those days, I didn't get up out of bed at all. I didn't eat anything. And I was still miserable. It's like I wasn't even like restful. But
yeah.
But anyway, what did you do over the last
Well, my back is doing much better.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask.
It is much better. I'm still not sleeping well. So I go to bed and my legs hurt, and that sucks. But
your legs hurt. Why would that be?
Yeah, well, my legs are hurting now. So my back was hurting, and I went to the massage therapist, and she's like, your hamstrings are crazy tight.
Oh.
And I was like, I hadn't noticed, but then the next day, like I did, but now my back doesn't hurt so much, but now,
I got it.
But I think it's, I'm not going to the gym. I'm not walking as much. The
right.
more I do that stuff, the less the pain is.
Sure.
And I'm seeing the massage therapist a bunch. I saw her again on Monday. I'm going to see her tomorrow morning. I'm planning to go back to the gym Monday. I don't know that it'll be full workout time yet, but you know, as much as I can manage in cardio, and then I'll do the PT stuff.
Right.
So it's getting a lot better, so I'm pleased about that. We finished the Dark Harbor role-playing campaign this week.
Oh.
Culminating in the giant fight with the ancient imprisoned fairy fear goddess.
I thought that was going to be last week that you finished.
It was. Somebody got sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had to wait till this week. But we finished it. It finished well. It finished abruptly.
Abruptly?
It was a huge fight and many layers to it. And the bad guys were going to pull out new things. And there were going to be hidden allies that showed up and stuff like that. And it was going at a pace. And then a couple of things happened together that I was suddenly like, oh, shit, she's dead.
Oh.
But it worked good. It was still fun. But, yeah, so that's done. We aren't gaming in for 3 weeks.
Ooh.
Because 2 weeks from now, one of my people is traveling for work, and so we can't game then. But and next week is Super Tuesday, and one of my people can't cope with the idea of not
knowing what's going
paying
on,
attention, right. to, which I don't understand in the slightest, but whatever. And, yeah, so then it'll be after that, but then we're going to start Blades in the Dark, which I'm really jonesing for. It's driving me crazy because it's not a game I can prep for. So I'm just sitting on my hands right now. So I have sort of a mentor in this. There's another guy I know who's run a lot of it, and I'm talking to him, and he said, you know, you should – he said, I've been working on – like when I do it, I work on fueling the tank and, like, consuming a lot of media that's in the same vein.
Mm.
And he's like, so for Blades in the Dark, it's, like, supernatural Victorian criminal stuff. He's like, I watched some Peaky Blinders. I played a lot of Dishonored and things like that.
Mm.
I'm like, I can't play Dishonored. It's like first person. I was like, maybe there's other games. I was looking around because I've kind of stopped on Divinity at the moment. I don't know. I just kind of wore out. I'm sure I'll come back to it, but I'm kind of stalled out there. And I was looking, and I was like, maybe I already have something. And if I had a better working PC, I've got the first two Arkham games. Those are kind of in that vibe, and I think that could work. And then I realized a game I'd been looking for an excuse to play for a long time. Vampyr.
Oh, yeah.
From last year. We talked about this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like World War One, really early 20th century, London, mm-hmm. and you're a doctor who's just come back, and there's some plague, and you're trying to heal people, but you've also been made a vampire.
Right.
And the only way you get experience is by sucking the life out of people. Mm-hmm. And so you have to choose which NPCs to do that with. And the NPCs become your friends and things like that, and they can offer quests and aid, and you know you care about them. And the more that stuff happens, the more they're worth. And you screw up the game, and you get really awesome powers, but then, you know, you cut off entire pathways and stuff, and the whole thing is very dark and sinister-looking, and I'm like, this is going to be perfect. So, that is downloading as we speak.
Oh.
We had finished Sabrina already when we last talked, right?
You guys had?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Had you? Have you watched season 3?
Yes.
That show continues to be bug fuck insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I love it for the. It is such trash. I love it. That ending, like, so much of that made no sense. So much of that was like the worst. Sabrina is the worst.
Yeah, she really
like,
is.
Like, to the degree that with the bit where it's like, you betray someone with a kiss. We thought she was going to do it, and we weren't shocked or anything.
Right.
We just assumed that was going to happen.
Yeah, there was
we're like,
no,
that sounds like her.
Oh, no, don't do it, Sabrina.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
and then she didn't,
it.
And I'm like, wow, okay.
Well, that's cool.
But then the ending, I'm like, even for her, this is stupid. And yeah, just all of it. And don't get me wrong, I'm super happy about the sudden relationship that kicked in the last episode, but it also came out of fucking nowhere. Like, don't say no there. There were exactly two beats that were telegraphed immensely that are like, these two are going to hook up. But, like, there was no reasoning for it. And just insane. And I just love it for that. Once I've realized that it's, like, it's a bad show, it's just a very entertaining bad show, I'm all over it. I had such a great time. It's just so dumb. And, yeah, our two favorite call-outs this entire season was the obvious one. Anytime relationship stuff was getting heavy, like romantic ones, we'd just yell out, you're fucking 16 years old. None of this is going to matter. Move on.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned before about how this season especially, they seem to want to show these teenagers like not wearing very many clothes
and
stuff.
But,
like,
and
they're
that
supposed
these are
to be kids. I know they're
loves
not.
Loves of their life. And I'm like, no, it's not. Yeah. Although that thing with the candle and I was like, that's dumb, but I guarantee you that's happened in real life. Like, actual kids who read just a little too much about the occult and had a bad breakup did that thing. But the other thing we kept yelling at the screen was, you forget. Or we'd say something along the lines of, I can do that, you know, because I'm made of clay. Have I told you I'm made of clay? That was constant. So, yeah, that show was a hot mess. Cracked us up. We are still enjoying Avenue 5 on HBO. That is nice. We haven't really started anything else. We did see a movie last night. We saw Ma.
It, what?
Ma.
I don't know what that is.
M-A. Ma. It is a movie with Octavia Spencer in it.
Oh.
And she's scary.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it.
That was all that Trish knew about it. I didn't think I was going to see it, so I had already read up the thing, but it was long enough ago that I didn't really remember. We came out of it, Trish not liking it and me liking it. Hmm. As the day has gone on, I'm more towards not. It has some originality to it that I enjoy. It also has a bunch of shit that just doesn't make any sense. Octavia Spencer's amazing in her role.
She's so fun to watch.
It's really weird seeing Juliette Lewis in mother roles now. Especially in this one. It's like she's mad at her teen for doing things. It's like, holy crap, the shit I saw you do on screen in the 90s. How dare you judge anyone else? Are you kidding me? What is wrong with... But it was interesting. I mean, if you like horror movies, I think it's worth watching. Mm. But, yeah, it's not a bad movie, but I'm not sure it's a good movie, per se. But it was really fun to see Octavia Spencer do that. And I found it interesting because, yeah, Octavia Spencer is this woman, and she helps out the teens by buying them alcohol. And then she lets them hang out at her place so that they aren't going to get in trouble with the cops or whatever. But, like, very quickly you can tell, like, there's something weird about her. But I found the movie fascinating because so much of the time is spent balancing between sinister and sad. Because Octavia Spencer is up to some shit, but it's because she's gone through some shit. Mm-hmm. And so you'd be like, wow, that's creepy of her. And then you're like, oh, that's what it was. That's what it was like for her when she was a teenager. That's what happened with her in this time. That's terrible. I feel so bad. Whoa, what is she doing? That's right. And it was really just fun to me. Like, mm-hmm. how much am I willing to sympathize from the trauma I witness versus how much am I not willing to sympathize because this is really fucked up.
Right.
And so I found that sort of game interesting in my head. Yeah. But, yeah, not great. Yeah, not too much else. I haven't been reading much. Let's pull some things out of the hat. Don't touch it, though. You're sick.
I presume you'll let me touch the hat at least.
Yeah, I'm just not going to touch it for years.
The hat's magic, you said.
Magic does not mean antiseptic.
You hardly ever do touch it.
We got some time tonight. I might have to.
If we do one at a time.
We're only about halfway through. We might have to tonight.
If we can talk about Oak Island.
No, we cannot.
Beth.
Beth, hey, we were just talking about Beth.
We were just talking about Beth, too.
And
so
she writes in fairly consistently, too.
Writes in, listens
Unlike
to every
Unlike some people.
Episode. She's the best.
You know who I'm talking about. I figured somebody will feel guilty from that.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Dear Hatters.
Dear Hatters.
Please describe your closet organization plan. What percentage of your master bedroom closet space is yours versus your spouse's?
I get a lot of questions like this that lead me to believe that me compared with Beth is like Beth compared with Martha Stewart. Like, she lives in a world of kitchen renovations and closet organization. These are not things that occur in my life.
They're through a unique set of circumstances. My wife and I don't share a bedroom or a closet.
I wondered if that was still the case now that you were on your own.
Well, as you might recall, when I first moved into the house, I mean, it was her house.
Yeah.
We weren't married.
Yeah.
I was like paying rent.
Yeah.
And I had my own room and my own bathroom and an exit where I could come in and out of the house without bothering them or anything. That was the arrangement. Over time, even though, you know, we were married and everything, any attempt we had to like sort of combine everything was like, well, because I did have a full closet
and she
had a full closet.
Yeah.
So that, you know, why even bother trying to work that out? And also, I didn't sleep well. I slept alone for so long,
and
I didn't sleep well.
That's a huge thing.
With another person.
A lot of people have that. People look at us weird because we frequently have like a pillow or something between us in the bed, and we don't share covers. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, it's just more comfortable. Some people genuinely do the twin beds, and it doesn't mean they're not like close and intimate or whatever. It means that they sleep better separately.
That's right. Well,
your relationship is not based on how well you can sleep in the same bed.
Right. And then also, right around that time where... you know, the kids were leaving and we could rearrange the rooms and stuff and share a room. I was having difficulty sleeping and I had I had one of those machines, you know. Don't you have a...
Yeah, do you have a CPAP?
I did for a short period of time.
And now you don't?
No.
How does that work?
Well, because the thing is, the doctors weren't that sure that I needed it in the first place. They just knew that I was having a lot of difficulty sleeping. And I had I had enough of a problem because I went to a sleep study.
You got to go to a sleep study to do that.
Well.
Yeah. Although nowadays, you don't go anywhere. They give you some shit to take home. Yeah. It's apparently really easy now.
But first. I guess I was kind of on the bubble kind of thing. Like, okay, we'll let you try a machine and see how it works. And then it didn't really help me. So that's why I don't have it anymore. But while I was trying it, you know, my wife could not sleep with that thing going.
Yeah.
and it worked out. We had it at the, you know, bedroom or whatever. So, you know, long story short, it's just things have evolved where I just sleep better by myself. I think she does too. And so we have separate bedrooms, separate closets, everything else. So we don't really have an issue with trying to figure out who has what in the closet or anything like that. And
well, there's the two people living in a, like, what, four-bedroom house? So probably have a lot of closets.
Yeah, four-bedroom house. And so, and the kids had a lot of stuff there. So we're very gradual. I mean, there hasn't been any kids living in the house for, like, 5 years, but still, it takes a long time to get things out of the house, sort through things. And we're converting some rooms to other purposes. But we'll probably always leave that bedroom down there for me to use whenever I want to because, I mean, first of all, it's full of my stuff and her room's full of her stuff. And
yeah.
And also I get to use my own bathroom and she uses her own bathroom.
If it ain't broke, yeah.
Plus, that also solves the problem of who cleans the bathroom. I clean my bathroom and she cleans her bathroom.
Oh, I would love it if we had two bathrooms.
It's really nice. So that solves all the problems for that kind of stuff for us. I know it sounds weird, but that's just how it is.
We have a closet in our bedroom. It technically has a side that's hers and a side that's mine. Her side gets used. I feel like her side mostly has her summer stuff. She seems to use her side more often in the summer. In the winter, it's different. And to add extra space, she bought a freestanding set of wire, like, cubbies that stands near the closet. And she puts some stuff in there, too. My side of the closet has a bunch of shirts that don't fit me anymore that I haven't worn in years. Mm. Really should get rid of them. We're working on it. My shirts now, they did go in there for a while. Now, in the hallway, we've got a thing that hangs over one of the doors that's just got a whole bunch of hooks on it, and I just hang all my shirts there. Every other type of clothing that I have goes in dresser drawers, and I have a dresser in there that I use. That's when I'm not just pulling them out of the dryer. but that's it. Like, we don't get too involved in that at all. So
I can't.
I don't think we're real helpful in this front.
My wife has a lot of stuff. She's got, I mean, the master bedroom in our house is her bedroom.
Yeah.
And it has and then there's like a powder room that goes into the bathroom. And so it's, you know, it's a walk-in space and it's the
so it's a closet and like dressing room
right. And it is, I mean, I've looked in there thinking, I wonder how much of this closet she doesn't need or use anymore. But I'm pretty sure I've seen her use all of it. And she might be able to get rid of some things, but like you said, it's mostly in her dressers. She's got a couple of dressers, and she would get rid of that stuff. But I think most of the stuff in her closet she uses, and I would never have room to put anything in there. Yeah. And if we shared a closet, by the way, there's no way it would be a 50-50 proposition. I mean, no. I just don't have as much stuff.
I always find that funny. Like, stereotypes are stereotypes. But sometimes we've all been socialized enough to fit into them. One time when we were at Virginia Beach, somebody came up with essentially a newlywed game kind of game for my mother and father-in-law, who'd been married for like 40-some years. Me and Trish, who'd been married for a while, and then my brother-in-law and his wife, who'd only been married for like 2 or 3 years. So that was the fun of it, is seeing who would get what. And near the end, there was a question of the guys had to estimate how many pairs of shoes their wives owned. And my father-in-law did okay. My brother-in-law, no chance. And we knew that because his wife is a huge clothes horse and all this stuff. But me, like, I wasn't sure, and I guessed so wrong. Like, we found out that Trish technically owned, like, 20 or 30 pairs of shoes. Mm. And I was like, holy shit, because I don't think of her as somebody who has tons of shoes. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, they're there. That kind of stuff always amuses me. And she has the things, like, she has her summer clothes and her winter clothes. And, I mean, I have shorts, and I have warmer shirts. But for the most part, a button-up shirt, jeans, maybe slacks, and like a couple pair of shoes. That's all I wear. I just have different shirts. And that's it. So yeah, I don't have nearly as much stuff either. But especially in our house, and I mean, you guys are, I'm betting this is not the case, but also you're private, so you wouldn't say anyway. We live here alone. We don't have any kids. There's not an issue of we have to get dressed in the bedroom, right? Like, modesty is not a thing. So there's no necessary benefit to having stuff in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm at home and nobody else is here, I mean, I put on pants for you. Like, I tend to wear as little as possible in the house unless it's winter and I'm, like, getting cold. So, like, yeah, just have – I go in the bedroom and I get my underwear and stuff like that, and then I just – in the hall, I grab what shirt I want.
Right.
It's real – it's simple for me because there's nobody else involved. And
it's a similar situation at our house, except I'm particular, right? So, I mean –
yeah, but then that bedroom is your dressing room.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm closing doors all the time, like – like, yeah. Someone could walk in any minute, which it doesn't happen, but...
Doors do not close in our house, and you can tell, because if we ever close one, the cats freak the fuck out. And actually, we've lived here long enough, and this house is old enough, if you try to close the door, a lot of them won't latch, because they've warped.
Mm.
Like, none of the doors in this house ever get... If for some reason we have somebody here, sometimes the bathroom door gets closed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Normally, none of the doors in this house get closed.
Yeah, I'm just weird like that. It might be because, I mean, when I grew up...
Trying to hide your drugs from your landlord, I get it.
No, I mean, I grew up in, as you know, I grew up in a small farmhouse. I had to share a bed with one of my brothers till I was, like, you know, 17.
Yeah.
you know, the only privacy you had was behind a closed door. Usually just the bathroom, that was it.
Yeah.
So, it's just a psychological.
I don't know. Like, I can't speak for Trisha. I grew up having very little concern over being undressed or whatever.
Mm.
In fact, it only became an issue because I think I've talked about this before. So in my house, everybody could just be naked in front of everybody. Nobody cared, except my siblings were step siblings, each on a different side.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister couldn't be naked in front of my father or my brother. Because it was, they weren't related by blood, I guess. Mm. And my mom and my brother, which I found as a kid very confusing. And I was in the middle, so I could be like, it didn't. I was fine with everybody. Everybody was fine with me. So I was very confused by this as a little kid. And then as I got a little bit older, my sister really hit her teenage years, and suddenly she wanted privacy,
mm-hmm.
especially from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still a kid, so I was very confused by that. But yeah. Suddenly my sister's closing the door, and I was like, "Why? What's going on?" But for the most part, growing up, that was not a thing for me. And I think Trish and I both, in our late adolescence, you know, probably living the polyamorous neo-pagan lifestyles and so forth, were in places where modesty was not a thing too much,
mm-hmm.
and so it just hasn't registered too much in our lives. And now we're just too old to give a shit. Like, you think my body looks weird? That's your problem. And you're not wrong, but I don't care. Yeah, so hope that was helpful, Beth. Alright, don't breathe, but
now?
Give me the... What?
Do we talk about Oak Island now?
No!
I'm just saying that to make you mad.
You were watching... was there an In Search Of episode about Oak Island?
There is, but I haven't gotten
Jesus
to it
Christ.
Yet. Jesus Christ. I haven't gotten to it yet. I watched it, like, back in
this
79.
So my sister-in-law...
That's how I learned about Oak Island, was through In Search Of.
My sister-in-law is a very picky eater. There's only certain food she eats. She's getting better as she gets older, but she eats certain foods. And the most common one is chicken fingers. She'll eat them anywhere.
Yeah, my sister's like that too. She always orders those
we
at a restaurant.
One time we took her to Carlos O'Kelly's, which is not a Mexican restaurant, but it's a faux Mexican restaurant.
It's not a faux Irish restaurant.
No, it is not. No, but that's a thing. Apparently there were a lot of Irish immigrants in Mexico during a certain period of time. So the name Carlos O'Kelly's is actually not weird.
Didn't know that.
I didn't either. I was like, that is the dumbest thing ever. What the? And I looked it up. No, it's a thing. But so we took her there one time, and we're like, she'll find something. I mean, it's very Americanized, you know. She'll get a burrito that just has meat in it, or like, and she hands the waitress menu. She says, "I'll have the chicken fingers, please." And I'm like, "What? They don't have? They do.
Well,
chicken fingers is on the menu."
Yeah, sure,
but we had never encountered that, and so I developed this theory that. Everywhere, anytime she went into a restaurant, they automatically had chicken fingers, no matter what it was. And it was really, at GirlCon, it really came up. She didn't even come with us. We went to an Indian restaurant, and I had to take a picture because down in the menu, they had a spot where they had chicken fingers. We were like, you should have come with us.
This is, my sister told me this a long time ago. She said, because that's what she orders almost everywhere. And I said,
well, now that's all any kid eats, so that's every place.
And I asked her, I said, what do you do when you go somewhere that doesn't have chicken fingers? And she looked at me and she said, every place
has chicken
fingers.
It's never come up yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But I bring this up for the point. I think you might have that same superpower that my sister-in-law has for Oak Island. Like, if you just watch a show, it's going to have an Oak Island episode.
No. Oh, that would be awesome if that happened.
Freaky as fuck. This is from Coffee. What's the worst advice you've ever received?
Tony told me once I shouldn't watch Oak Island. The
worst advice I ever received is, come on, do a podcast with him. It'll be good to get him out of the house. What could it hurt?
Worst advice?
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I have my standard answer that I have to give.
What's that?
The worst advice was from my parents, and it was... Honey, you're going to a really good 4-year school. Just having a degree from there is going to, like, guarantee you a job. So don't worry so much about getting marketable skills when you pick your major. Just go with something that calls to you.
Oh, because they thought saying you went to school at Grinnell would just open a door.
Because back in their day, it would have.
Well, and I think that's still true for, like, Harvard or Yale or something like that, probably.
Possibly, yeah, maybe. And Grinnell's good, but having a cultural anthropology bachelor's from there doesn't open a lot of doors unless it's grad school doors. Whereas if I had gotten a comp sci degree from there, I would have absolutely been one of those .com billionaires who lost it all in 03 or whatever. But to be fair, I ended up doing just fine. But I still think it's – I always think that one's funny because I'm like – this constantly happens with both jobs and school. The previous generation always gives advice based on how the job market and the educational system was
sure,
when they were there, and it's
right.
always changed.
So does this need to be advice that I took and it ended badly?
I don't think necessarily. What's some advice you were given that you were just like, I know that shit, I'm not taking that?
I would never remember.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? If someone,
well, then don't do that. Then
if,
do it
if
advice
someone,
that you took
If someone
that ended
suggested
badly.
Something to me and I thought it sounded really stupid... I wouldn't even remember they told me.
Then I think you should have just said up front, let's call it this, because if one of the two options is I cannot answer it, then let's not do that option. Not good radio.
Okay.
So, yeah, advice that you took that went badly.
You know, honestly, here's another thing, though, about this question. If someone suggested something to me and I did it, I probably didn't think of it as I'm doing this because this person suggested
See,
it.
I'm thinking the same thing.
I would have done it because I decided it was a good idea, in which case, if it didn't work out, I wouldn't even think of blaming them or anything else. I decided.
People don't usually – people seldom convince me of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they do, it's frequently a perspective issue. It's not an action.
Right. But
they convince me to do
But
stuff.
Then if I act – if I do something, I've decided to do it. In fact – I usually won't let myself make a significant decision unless I feel confident that I can live with the consequence, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to think, oh, so-and-so told me to do this. So if someone ever suggested a course of action that I ended up taking and it didn't work out, I don't think I would have associated that with them, so I don't know if I'd even remember that either.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of things where I'm like, this is going to be great. And then it went to, like, shit. Like,
well, now,
it doesn't happen a lot.
There have been times where someone has said, let's do this. And I agreed to it, and it was terrible. But usually, even in those circumstances, it's like where I've kind of gone along with whatever everybody else is doing. That's pretty rare, by the way, for me to do that. But sometimes I'll think, all right, I'll just be the guy that shuts up and let someone else decide, and I'll just go along, and then I regret it, you know. But that doesn't often surprise me. It's like, you know, there's always this moment where you're like, am I going to be the one that says no? Am I going to be the one that suggests something else? Or am I just going to let someone else lead and just sort of roll with it? And you decide you're going to roll with it. And then if it turns out bad, you know, it's still on you, I guess. I don't know.
I can think of one, and it's not great.
Okay.
I was like, I've been GMing for this gaming group for probably 15 years now or something, and the people in it, the membership has fluctuated. And there was a time where it was just two players, and they convinced me to let a friend of theirs that they also game with join. And it just didn't go well. We just didn't mesh, and it was really not great. And even they'll admit now, like, that was not a good fit for our group or whatever. And he eventually moved away, so it was fine. But, I mean, I guess that counts. It's not very interesting, but I'm like, I can't... This doesn't come up a lot.
Yeah.
When people give me advice, it's usually perspective advice. It's usually like, think about it this way.
Yeah.
And I draw conclusions about my actions from that.
Right. I've been along on schemes that, you know, or I've gone with someone some place and then realized now I'm trapped with these people for 3 hours and I wish I'd done something else. That kind of thing has happened, but it's like,
yeah, and I mean,
it's not really like
people have convinced me to go on trips that turned out to suck.
That kind
of
thing.
But it was like, that was sort of the adventure for it,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, never was, God, that was terrible. I am so sorry.
Well, it doesn't really qualify as taking bad advice.
No, I don't know. Maybe we're not good at taking advice.
I suspect you and I are not very good at taking advice. Or we're very good at it. Because I think if someone gives you advice and you take it, you need to own it.
We're good at owning our advice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, if someone suggests something and I do it, I'm doing it. I'm not going to come back to them and say, "Hey, you told me to do this." I mean,
I can think of versions where I absolutely am like, "Okay, because you said so," or like, "If this goes bad." But it's always like comedic, and when it, like, I still give Trish crap. We drove up to Effigy Mounds one time and she made me hike around there. And this was when my back was still bad. And so to this day, it's a joke that she tried to kill me by sending me to Effigy Mounds, and that was a terrible idea. And I mean, on paper, I guess it's true. She suggested it. It wasn't exactly advice, but
right.
I agreed to it. It was not enjoyable, but like, it's, and I knew it was not, like, I knew up front, but I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is, I find it really weird that we're having this much trouble with it, but I think what we're saying is legit. Like, this, I wouldn't have thought the answer is, well, this kind of doesn't apply to me.
Well, I mean, don't you
this
think...
This is very weird.
I mean, don't you think that... I don't know. It doesn't surprise me that something that you and I have in common is that we only do the things we want to do. Right?
Yeah.
So someone else...
But I don't...
Having a say or having some input, that doesn't change us wanting to do it or us making the decision. So we were never going to blame somebody else for things we do.
And I don't want to say that people don't advise me. They do all the time.
Oh, yeah, people advise me all the time.
But it's... Yeah. I mean, well, okay, for one thing, like I said, like, they advise me on perspective. But here's another, and I don't know, maybe this is a little cocky. Most of the time when people give me advice... And it leads to direct action. And I take it. I say, that sounds good. And I take it. It goes well. Like, very seldom am I like, you know what? I've thought about what you've said, and I agree. That is good advice. And then I do it, and it turns out
terrible.
We were both wrong.
No, that's a good point,
like,
too,
that doesn't...
Yeah.
I mean...
That's a good point, too. I think that's...
I don't... It feels weird, but I'm just like... I'm pretty perceptive, and if it's good advice, that's what I feel like I'm saying, but I'm like...
You know, and I'm pretty sure that when that's happened, when someone's made a suggestion and I followed it, I think I usually make a point to go back to that person and say, "Hey, remember when you said I should do X, Y, or Z? Well, that worked out great because, you know, I want to let them know that was a good idea."
There
so I'm
have
sure
been
that's
times
happened.
When I'm in some sort of collective situation and someone else has made a decision,
mm-hmm.
and things have gone poorly for us,
yeah.
and I will totally blame them. Like, I mean, maybe not directly to their face, but I will totally be like, that was a terrible idea. But it's not the same as them advising me and I
did it.
I don't know why I find this so weird. This is one of those questions where I'm like, this is not the answer I was expecting when I saw this. And I mean, it would be even worse if, say, I had had to write this down a long time ago, so I had seen this question potentially weeks ago and already thought about it, and yet somehow now still was coming up with an answer that surprised me. Luckily, that's not what's happening.
That's not
here.
What's happening at all.
But still,
yeah, right.
It's surprising. This happens more often than that. I should be pleased that this happens. That I get a question, I'm like, well, and then I'm like, huh, the actual answer is not what I expected. It's kind of cool. All right, we should finish because you're turning green.
Sorry.
And
well, at least I didn't have like a coughing fit or something.
That is nice. I'm
gonna leave a bunch of.
I was spraying Lysol right in your mouth. Just straight up. I was thinking about Lysol because people weirded out because Lysol says on its packaging that it will kill the coronavirus, and people are like, Lysol's already doing it, and that's when people had to be like, actually, coronavirus is a generic term, and there's lots of
them,
and it's not.
I'm quite sure that what we have, my wife and I have had, is a coronavirus. Not
but
that
not,
coronavirus, but
yes,
it's definitely a coronavirus.
And it has nothing to do with beer, people. apparently that's the thing people worry about, because humans are dumb. If you'd like to give us terrible advice, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. Also, maybe answer that question, either of these questions, better than we did. We answered both of these questions terribly this week. So come up with better answers and go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and give them there. Or just whatever you want to talk about. And then otherwise, listen next week. I will probably have a lot to say about GamerCon. I'm playing in so many games.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.